The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. If you missed any of Adam Schefter's appearance here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Adam, very good on the Jordan Love situation on whether or not he may come back early from this knee injury. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts. One of the other situations the Packers find themselves in is they have a new kicker. And we all watched, sometimes with bated breath, sometimes we prayed, like the head coach, when Anders Carlson was out there. But Narveson has been the new guy, and they were excited about him. They thought, this guy is going to change things up at the position. Chewy, he's been a little uninspiring. There have been some moments here where you're going, really? Okay. And yesterday, Matt LaFleur was asked about the patience that is needed with the kicker. It sounded somewhat familiar. I feel like, weren't we here last year, the year before? Take a listen to Matt LaFleur talking about Narveson's missed field goals.
Well, it's a better question for Goody, but from my perspective, I'd say pretty patient. You know, I like his mentality. I like his talent. And there's going to be some ups and downs, and hopefully it, you know, there's more ups and downs. So I do think he's done a pretty nice job. I know he's got to make that field goal. He knows it. We all know it. But I'm confident that if he's in that situation again, he'll hit it.
I don't understand the Goody part. Is he throwing him under the bus? I mean, he's the head coach. Does Goody control special teams? I mean, he missed two 40-somethings in both games, right?
43.
That's not great. I mean, I'm fine with him. My biggest surprise of the season so far is how many teams are deciding just to kick the ball out of the end zone and give it to him at the 30. I thought this would be more kickoffs in play, trying to pin him inside of the 30. And that's not really the case. So I don't think this is what the NFL intended. Which is kind of strange to me.
They were trying to take the boring play away.
Yeah.
And you're saying that they just found a new way to make it boring.
I'm surprised how many teams are just deferring give it to him at the 30.
Let me ask you this. If Narveson, for his career, misses one field goal every game, is that good or
no,
bad?
No, that's bad.
Right. If he misses one of four every game, that's bad.
That's going to lose you one game, maybe two. When you start playing these tougher teams, when they go on that stretch.
Sure.
That's not great. No. I would have never got rid of Joseph. Joseph, to me, just, you know, he missed some, but he looked more confident than Carlson. Carlson looked like a young kid that was kind of deer in the headlights and hasn't figured it out yet. Now, maybe, I mean, there's been a lot of kickers that stunk early in their career and then gotten better over the years. Not saying they were great, but they were a functional kicker. But, yeah, you got to make 43-yarders. You have to.
So one of four, obviously, that you miss puts you at a 75% clip, which is worse than Anders Carlson's time in Green Bay, where he was an 81-plus percent field goal kicker. So you got to pick it up, right? Like, we all know that you got to make those. Are you giving him a leash because it's the first couple weeks of the season? And
yeah.
You know, shaking off the rust, shaking off the nerves. He'll get more confident as the season goes on. But to your point, Shu, like, you got to have a good field goal kicker. You know, and we see it all the time. But the most recent example, of course, is what you saw with the Bengals and the Chiefs last week, right? Where you drive yourself into position to win the game. You put Butker out there and you expect him to split the uprights for the victory. Like, you need a guy who you feel confident putting out there in those situations.
Well, the problem is this. Kicking in Green Bay doesn't get easier. It doesn't get any easier. Matter of fact, it gets a lot tougher because you're kicking in the cold. The ball takes on a different personality. Probably going to be windier. The weather stinks. So, I mean, if he's missing one a game now, That's not great, Bob.
I like your question about Goody, though, because this to me is the silos. Mm-hmm. It's you're picking the ingredients, I'm making the food. And it feels like as long as that is the way that this organization chooses to do things, there's going to be a little tension there. Joshy, am I wrong in picking up a little tension in you're making the call on these guys and I just got to deal with them?
This is the second time in recent memory that Matt LaFleur has kind of distanced himself from some of the personnel decisions that have happened. And while being literally true, he does not determine who gets added to the Packers roster or not. You would want your guys to not be pointing the finger at one another. Now, this isn't the gravest of actions, but for his first comments to be, well, that's a Goody question, or that's about Goody, kind of feels like he wants us all to know that I didn't pick this kicker. I didn't pick any of these kickers. This is just the kicker I've been given.
All right, two things here. Does LaFleur have vomit mouth? He just kind of blah things sometimes. Like when you are in a...
In front of the microphone? Not at all. I find him to be so... I get frustrated listening to him because I don't think he tells us anything.
No, but I'm saying from the standpoint when you are in a meeting with the game day crew the night before and you say something like you did with the praying.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you can't say that. You can think it, but you can't say it out loud. And like this Goody thing... Like there was really no need to inject that into the conversation. And what I'm moving toward, if LaFleur, and he's a hell of a coach, I'll give him his props. But the more and more success he has, I could seriously see him going the Holmgren route.
Which is?
I want more power. I want more personnel. I'm not going to get it here as long as the silos are in place. That was the whole thing with Holmgren. Holmgren wanted more control of his team. And what did Parcells back in the day about the groceries? If you're going to cook the meal, at least let me buy the groceries. I don't know. I just...
Wait, are you thinking that like at some point he's going to say, I'm taking my talents elsewhere?
Or someone's got to go. Andy Reid did it to John Dorsey.
Such a good job being head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, but these guys are ego and power hungry. Like Andy Reid did it to John Dorsey in Kansas City, ran him out of town. And I didn't think Andy would ever do that in a million years. And I know John Dorsey's the one that worked me out before the combine. And John was a hell of a GM.
So
and he did a nice
about,
job there in Kansas City because he was part of the whole Mahomes draft stuff.
Is that about protecting a legacy? Is that about, you know,
power hungry?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so hear me out. Like, you're trying to create a narrative. You're trying to create a legacy. You're trying to, you know, let people know who you are. And the more success you have, the more expectations go up. And then you start saying, I don't have control over all of the things that affect my legacy, that affect my paycheck, that affect all of these other things. And is that what it is? You just go, I want more control.
I think it's power, and I want more pats on the back. I mean, these guys, and I've been around a lot of them, have massive egos. I'm saying massive, like head through the door type egos.
You're talking head coaches and GMs,
head coach,
though, right?
I'm, you know, players to a certain extent, the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember the battle, you know, when we were at the top of our game and the top of our years. There was a battle between Mike and Brett. I'm more important. No, I am. No, I am. No, I am. And there was that battle. I mean, because if you look back, Jen, Ron Wolf was retiring in what, 2 years? Before Holmgren left or after Holmgren left? I mean, why wouldn't he just turn the reins over and say, okay, here you go. Give us one more year, and then I'll give it to you. I don't know. Just I do know this. Egos are just massive.
So the thing that stood out, Joshy, was, of course, him starting the response about Narveson with the, you kind of have to ask Goody. That's a Goody question, or you have to ask Goody. Is your take off that Matt LaFleur feels like, I'm not controlling all of the things that are affecting my record and my legacy. And yes, we won that game, this past one. I lost the first one. And if this starts to affect my ability to win and the team's ability to win, I'm going to let people know.
Yeah, I think it's a level of frustration because if we've asked Jason about this multiple times in different ways of asking pretty much the same question, and it seems like the impression we all have right now through the information we've been able to gather is Goody doesn't really care all that much what Matt LaFleur wants or has to say about personnel decisions. It seems like maybe he'll give him some space in the room, but when it comes down to decisions, Matt LaFleur really has no bearing either which way. Brian Gutekunst makes the decisions, mm-hmm. and Matt LaFleur deals with them. It seems like we spend a lot of time talking about this when the right way to do this is just two guys collaborating for the success of one another.
Sure.
And for whatever reason, maybe Goody's interpersonal skills aren't good enough that he
which
can...
Which we've heard before.
Right. Famously, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but most GMs are like that, though. Ron was the same. Ron wasn't warm and fuzzy. Ted Thompson definitely wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, especially the guy Goody's who learned really at the not. Foot of them.
But again, I have said this before when we have talked about this. Maybe that's a byproduct of the job, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe you do distance yourself because when you have to cut a guy or you have to move on from a guy, you don't want to have had a warm and fuzzy, emotionally invested relationship with them.
And the thing that's interesting is Matt LaFleur has played that card with... I'm not making these decisions about you when it comes to how much you're getting paid, the contract you're getting. He plays both sides of the card because that's not me, that's them, will be a benefit to him in the locker room. But then when it comes to, hey, your guy isn't doing what he's supposed to, it's like, well, I didn't make the decision anyway.
I've got some reaction rolling in on the YouTube page about this, just talking about Goody and Matt LaFleur and how they work together or don't work together to create the roster. Jason weighing in saying DeGuara was a Matt LaFleur pick. Goody picked him because Matt wanted him. Goody's a rock star at player evaluation. And then Alan says Goody looks at who he thinks can play while Matt LaFleur looks at who specifically fits in his system. It's not right. It's not wrong. But coach should get more say. Maybe the coach should get more say. But also you talk about the best coaches in the league change their scheme to fit their personnel. And then you hope that as it evolves, you get more players in there who fit better in there.
I think just as coaches, I mean, you take Pete Carroll and John Schneider in Seattle for years, and then you take Andy, and I don't even know who the GM is there now. The GM is who?
Brett Veach?
Yeah, the GM is subservient to the head coach. Like in Seattle, and they worked well together, Pete Carroll and John Schneider. Mm-hmm. John, former Green Bay guy, great mm-hmm. guy. But Pete made the final decisions. Andy Reid, final decisions.
Right.
Bill Belichick, head of GM, Bill Belichick, final decisions. I'm just saying coaches, when they get success and they get, that's where they want to go to. I think the days of a head coach being the head coach and GM is over. That's never going to work.
Sure.
But certainly a GM that works under the head coach.
Well, isn't famously that's what led to Bill O'Brien's undoing in Houston? Wasn't that he wanted to be the coach and the GM?
Yeah. And then they gave it to him.
And they gave it to him, and he was no good at player evaluation.
You can't do it. It's just there's not enough hours in the day to be the GM and the head coach. There is just not enough hours in the
day. But if you're Matt LaFleur and you're looking around the league, and look, I think our pal Brad Norman put Matt LaFleur in his top five of coaches in the league right now. If you're looking around the league and there's a perception that you are a top insert number here, coach in the league, 10, 5, whatever it is, maybe Matt LaFleur thinks he has earned the right to have more say in personnel. And look, we're talking about the kicker right now. It's just kind of a launch pad for this conversation because Matt LaFleur answered the question the way that he did. The kicker probably doesn't affect all of these other things, right? When you're looking for a guard on the offensive line, you're also keeping in mind who you've got at tackle and who you've got at center and how that unit works together. The kicker is more independent than that. But still, it is interesting that Matt LaFleur gave us a peek inside his psyche by deferring to Goody when it comes to the new kicker's struggles on the field.
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the first segment about airlines and things like that. Hey, not my fault. I didn't take them. You know, hey, not my deal. I'm doing my deal. I'm the one that got him in field goal range. Hey, I'd like to pick the kicker. Just know, you know, I just didn't see a need for it. I'd really like to know deep down what their relationship is, you know?
Professional.
Yeah, I was going to say co-workers.
Because I can tell you this, Mike and Ron's relationship changed from 92 to when Mike left. It just did. I could tell you some stuff, but I won't.
AC and Tosa weighing in saying, coach and GM should always collaborate, but if it's one or the other, I want LaFleur making the decision. Petey Pablo weighing in saying, the way San Francisco is doing it is the best. They were hired as a tandem. They work as a tandem. 800-990-3776. Your reaction to Matt LaFleur saying, talk to Goody, when asked about the patience that they will have with the new kicker. Lots of stuff to still get to this morning. Have you seen this tax, this talent fee that Tennessee is adding to its ticket prices? We'll get into that when we get back on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
pierogies birthday. And borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You've heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We've enjoyed having their team help us with home projects, redoing our basement and things like that. And if you find yourself in that space needing a remodel, maybe a new home, PCI is here for you. They believe in building relationships, and congratulations to them on 20 years in the business. You don't stick around for 20 years, guys, if you're not doing exceptional work. You can learn more about PCI at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. So watch it rise in a weightless world, yeah. So, Tennessee, I think, is in front of something really cool. Not necessarily cool for your pocketbook, but cool from a thinking outside the box perspective. There is only so much money to go around, Chew, okay? Mm-hmm. We have talked about this with the college football situation as NIL takes over and teams are having to figure out how to not only retain talent, but get new talent in. And everybody has a price tag at this point. You want 4 stars? You want 5 stars? Pony up the dough. Go to the bank. Cha-ching. So Tennessee yesterday announces that they will be implementing a talent fee, attaching it to all of the tickets that are sold for Neyland Stadium. I think it's next year, obviously. I don't think it starts immediately, but I think it starts next year. The caveat is this. The antitrust case has to go through. There has to be a settlement, because the antitrust case means that programs and universities right now cannot directly pay athletes. Mm-hmm. But if the antitrust case gets settled, that would open the door for them to be able to pay the athletes. They are saying, Chew, that they are going to increase ticket prices by 10% and that that money is going to go directly to buying athletes, getting athletes, paying athletes. You like that?
No. I like the fact that they're doing it and the athletes should be paid, but this thing needs to be capped. Otherwise, it's not going to be fair, you know, because my guess is, well, you're in the college space. I don't think Tennessee people would have a problem with it as long as they win football games. Mm-hmm. But I don't think other schools would probably. I mean, people go crazy here when they raise Packer tickets.
Mm-hmm. But every no couple reason. Of years they sell stock and everybody runs to ATM to take out the money to do that.
I just think it needs to be capped in some sort of way. And if they're not, in Wisconsin here, you got to either pick up your game and start really, really paying these players if you want to get them to come here, or you're going to be mediocre. You know, because I can tell you, a school like BC, they ain't paying crap.
Well, they're paying something.
They're paying something, they're in the ACC, but they're not going to pay massive amounts of money. I just think this system, which is, it's not great, but it just needs to be fixed. I think there needs to be a cap.
Salary cap.
A salary cap, and I think they need to get control of the transfer portal. You know, one transfer, that's it. You can't go oogle. You can't go from school to school to school to school, because it's not fair. I don't know. I just don't think it's fair for, you know, your Mountain West schools or, you know, your Wyoming and North Dakota states to have their rosters pilfered. To move up, you see what I'm saying?
Sure, but again, going back to the money element, Chew, because mm-hmm. there's only so much money to go around. There is donor fatigue right? Because every time they turn around, the program is coming to them saying, we need more money, yes. we need more money. And they use the rivalries and say, so-and-so, so Tennessee, I don't even know who, you know, for instance, they're playing Oklahoma this weekend. Oklahoma is paying X amount of money for this player. We need the money. We don't have it. And donors are going, hey, man,
yeah.
we just gave you $3 million to build the new entertainment district next yeah. to the stadium, which is what they're doing at Tennessee, by the way. So they're building an entertainment district right next to Neyland Stadium. So this idea of like, hey, we're going to add a 10% charge to your tickets. Neyland Stadium holds 101,000 people
mm-hmm.
every time they have a home game. If you want to support your team, this feels like an easy way to do it. Hey, you're dressing it from in orange, or you're dressing in the creamsicle outfit every weekend anyway to support the team, right? You're shouting your brains out. You're shouting your lungs out in the end zone, trying to give your team a home field advantage. This will actually give your team an advantage, Joshy.
I am, one of my core tenets and beliefs, am anti-passing the cost on to the consumer. When a program like Tennessee, with all the money they have rolling around to build new entertainment centers, decides maybe instead of cutting what we're paying our AD and some of the staff and all the people around there, they decide, you know what, to enjoy a game now because we have to compete in this revenue sharing, a great way to make more revenue is to look at the person who supports us. I don't like the idea of, instead of figuring out ways to make the money work and actually do the sharing, because for a long time, programs like Tennessee have collected off the backs of those same kids that now, when they're asked to pay for them, say, well, guess what? Not our problem. You, the consumer, taking care of it.
But you know why they're doing this? I can tell you why they're doing it. I'll tell you why they're doing it. Because the schools are pissed off, because the donors are now, instead of giving to the school and their endowment, now they're giving it to the athlete, and they see it as going right out the door. So they're figuring a way to, like, okay, how do we get this sports alumni, whatever, to give the money to the school in their endowment instead of it going to the athlete? So let's pass it on to the consumer.
They can't, exactly. Because these people, these boosters, these donors who have been donating for years and years and years and years are saying enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Sure.
We paid for the facilities. We paid for this. We paid for that. We paid for, now we're paying for athletes. No more. And again, I think they're well within their right to do that as well.
Aren't the donors getting double hit here now, though? If I'm a donor who also attends games, I am now donating and then giving an extra 10% every week to probably some of those donors have a lot of tickets. And
suites.
Yeah. I mean, they get little premium perks. Seats. But.
So basically, the donor is now double hit for already giving a bunch of money.
How about this? How about give some of the TV revenue, stop bothering the alumni, give up some of the TV revenue, and pay the athletes that way? Wouldn't that be simple?
That's so interesting.
That would be very simple.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll as it relates to the Wisconsin Badgers. A lot of people here taking Badgers games. If you knew that you paying 10% more on your tickets would help them pay the athletes, keep, get, retain five-star athletes, four-star athletes, would you be open to it? 800-990-3776. We got to take a break. We have Sophia Minert coming up next to talk about the Brew Crew, who could clinch the division today before they even take the field. We'll talk to her about that next. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the sports book at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. And if you're in a rush, guys, they've got that free 20-minute reserved parking spaces right by the Skywalk. They have figured it all out tonight. Ben, Greg, and I will be at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook for our show, The Weekly Wager. Get all of our advice on the best bets of the weekend. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Oh, Sophia! Sophia Minnert, I can only imagine, was sitting last night watching that game, covering that game with bated breath. And when we all got the news flash that the Cubs had indeed lost to the A's, we thought, maybe the Brewers can do it this evening. Sophia, what were you thinking last night as that game went on?
I was thinking Bryce Harper spoiled what could have been a fun night.
Yeah, he hit that home run, right? I
mean, yeah. It was a really close game. And then, you know, Bryce Harper does Bryce Harper things, and the Phillies were able to add on there. But, yeah, this is the fun time of year. You know, it's fun to scoreboard watch. It's fun to, you know, ask teams for help, you know, and keep up with what everyone else is doing. And then, you know, but obviously the Brewers are in a great spot. The magic number is one now. The Cubs have a day game at Wrigley. So we'll go into tonight, a 6:40 start time, kind of knowing the outcome of their game. And, you know, obviously the Brewers would love to go into this thing with a win, but they've got a lot of opportunities to get it done.
Sophia, winning the division is nice, but for me, it's all about the bye. So when do we hit must win? Are we there yet? Are we at must win?
Yeah, I think right now they're two games back of the Dodgers. The Phillies have the top seed. And coming into this series, even with a sweep, they wouldn't have been able to catch the Phillies. And part of that is just, you know, how the series led up to this meeting. They obviously will not see the Dodgers anymore. So you're just in like win series mode, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you can say that every game is must win at this point. But we've talked about that, and Murph talked about that last night too. Is, you know, there was obviously some disappointment last night of not getting it done, and for him, he's just kind of looking at it of, okay, you're obviously trying to wrap up the division, still very much in play for trying to chase down the Dodgers and get that two seed. But either way, you know, you just want to be playing really good baseball, right, going into the postseason. And I think the schedule will help them do that, because this is a team that has usually like kind of risen up to the level of their opponent. So, you know, you've got three against the Phillies. They're going to get four against the Diamondbacks starting tomorrow. That's going to be a really good series. Then you're going to go to Pittsburgh for the final meeting with them. And then coming back, you've got three games with the Mets, and they're right on the bubble too. They've got a lot to play for. They're trying to secure maybe that sixth seed. And now you're looking at, they might be playing the Mets in back-to-back series, if that's indeed how it shakes out. If the Brewers stay in the three, if the Mets are able to secure the sixth, that's going to be a week with the New York Mets, if that's how it shakes out. The Braves are still very much in it. They're two games back now. So, you know, they're playing teams that have a lot to play for, and they could still very much factor into the seeding even up until the last day with the division clinched.
Sophia, is there a team in the playoff picture that you think they match up well against?
I think the wild card round, I'm really glad that they changed the format from the single game wild card, which is just like terrifying, and it's an elimination game. You're holding your breath every pitch. And it's also just not true to how you play the season. The wild card round, I'm glad that they at least made it like a three game series and favoring that higher seed with hosting. Anything can happen in those three games. As we saw last year, you know, the Diamondbacks came in hot and they swept the Brewers. There were a number of things that happened in that series. But yeah, I think they can match up really well with everybody, and they can also get beat by everybody. And that's a kind of cliched answer, but it really is true. But I do think the three-game series kind of helps level that out from the one-game wild card.
Sophia, I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but who else are big are free agents next year other than Adames?
Oh, gosh. Let's see here. A lot of them are under control or have options. Like Rhys Hoskins has a player option. Colin Ray has a team option. Willie Adames is a free agent. I'm trying to go through like the lineup here. Most of the young players are obviously under team control.
So this is run backable then, huh?
Yes. Yeah. I would say the majority of the position player group, William Contreras is still under team control. Oh gosh. Pitching wise, Freddie Peralta still under team control. Oh, Aaron Civale, he would be a free agent. I think Frankie Montas, he may have 1 year left. He may be going into free agency. I know Civale for sure. So I would say, like, look, for the most part, the majority of the team is under team control for next year.
That's good to know.
Which is part of why the team is built this way, right? Mm-hmm. Of, you know, it's a lot of young talent. And, yeah, they're not looking. Last year they had, like, a record number of arbitration players. So you'll probably have a big group going into that. But in terms of true free agents, Willie would be at the top of the list.
Sophia, it is a very exciting time. How was the vibe at the ballpark last night? I imagine there's a lot of energy. I imagine there's a lot of anticipation. How would you characterize what you're seeing with the fans now as the Brewers get close to clinching the division?
Yeah, I'm seeing all of that. You know, I think fans ultimately want to see them get it done. The players obviously want to get it done. And you've put yourself in a great spot, like, to have this opportunity. So I think the players know, and like we talked to Rhys Hoskins about this last night, is you know you're so close, right? Like, you're at the finish line, but, you know, there's still more to play for. So, like, you can't go out and necessarily try to do more just for the sake of trying to, you know, get this thing done and get it to the finish line. That doesn't always work in baseball. It's better to just sort of, like Rhys said, he's like, you just talk it out. You put it out there, you acknowledge it, and then you go out and you play the game. And that kind of mentality has served them really well up until this point. And so I think you just run it back. It's like, okay, like, go out, play a clean game, do your job. Hopefully you come out with a win. You try to stack up as many good series as you can, be in a really good position here for the postseason. No one's really talking about postseason matchups or anything like that yet. Obviously, everyone knows what's going on and who the teams are that are involved, but it's still very much like take care of your own business mode. I think the fans can feel like, hey, things are close. Postseason tickets are coming up. They're going to come on sale Friday morning. So it's like things are getting real, right? We're definitely getting to the end here, but the vibe is good, you know, and I think they've done a great job of, they're still relaxed. They're having fun. They're keeping things loose. Overall, things are really good.
Last thing before we let you go, what is the plan for celebration? If the Cubs win, I assume there won't be a celebration before the game. Would they still pop bubbly after the game, regardless of the outcome?
Oh, yeah. There will still be, yes, absolutely. There will still be a celebration. If you remember, actually, last year, they were waiting on the outcome of another game, and got the outcome of that game, like, right after the Brewers lost. So they actually celebrated after a loss and still had a great celebration. The timing, it was kind of within maybe 10, 15 minutes of each other. So, yes, we'll know the outcome of the Cubs game regardless. I think preferably with a win, you know, there'll be confetti and champagne and cigars and the whole thing. It is still a huge accomplishment. So no matter how you get it done, there will be a celebration. So, yeah, if you're looking to make some plans, feel free to come on out to American Family Field tonight.
Sophia, do you dress accordingly, knowing that you might get doused in champagne? Do you pick, like, the 10th outfit instead of maybe number two or three in the rotation?
Yes, there's some strategy to this. You don't want to go in with, like, a brand new outfit. Definitely don't want to go in with, like, your favorite pair of shoes. I always throw on some type of, like, rain jacket or something just as a top layer. That helps a little bit. And also just to, like, throw your phone in there and keep that somewhat waterproof. But it's a lot of fun. You know, these guys deserve a celebration for what they've accomplished. It's a huge deal. They always have a lot of fun with it. I know they're going to have some fun with Jackson Churio because, of course, he's only 20. So I think he'll have some special
Welch's
items.
Champagne.
For his, I believe that's what they said,
yeah,
right?
Is it
apple
really?
Juice?
Yeah.
Yeah. We, you know, he's got a, we've never had this problem before.
Yeah.
So we've never had a 20-year-old in the clubhouse celebration. So they'll have some fun with him. But yeah, the celebration, whenever it happens, hopefully tonight, it will be great. And it's a great matchup. You've got Freddie Peralta and Aaron Nola, two great teams. The Phillies have a lot to play for. Obviously, they haven't clinched anything yet. So it's hopefully going to be a very fun night tonight.
Sophia, we are absolutely hoping that today is the day that the Brewers clinch the division and then can start focusing on chasing down the Dodgers and Phillies for those buys. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great day.
That's Sophia Minert. You'll see her out at the ballpark this evening as the Brewers continue their series with the Phillies. For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity. You should experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
63.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, it's a Bible verse. John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought
it
was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
So put your best face on, everybody pretend you. It's you.
You know what I say. Ashton's a loser and he's in studio, but I love my wife and that's why she's happy. And that usually means a visit to my guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading into the Jewelry Center for an engagement ring. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or where that loser lives in Burlington today, or check the full inventory online. I know I forgot Greenfield.
I don't care where you live, okay?
Just stop into the Jewelry Center or go online at Shop. TJC.com.
I do have to do that, though, for
real.
Check
out Ashton a few times there in that read. We brought Ashton into the studio because folks on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line have noted that there is an announcement for Rotz Hots.
Oh.
It's on the talk and text line. Rotz Hots is putting
that?
A pause on operations
I
at the conclusion of the season. Do you have some news for us about what's happening with your business?
No, just stay tuned. I don't have any news.
What's happening? You guys are taking a little hiatus.
We're taking a little pause.
Is it a little wedding pause?
Yeah, a little wedding pause. You get the wedding next year, and then you never know house hunting. You never know what's going to happen. So we're taking a little pause as we look to grow potentially, maybe get a bigger truck, maybe get a space. You never know.
So here's why I bring it up. Everybody who's like, this is chaotic. What is happening right now? Where can people support Rotz Hots over the next week or so?
Well, they can go to the corners of Brookfield tonight, which is where we'll be. They can go to Clody Park and Whitefish Bay, which a lot of our teammates will end up going to as well. Probably on Saturday, we're going to do a beer fest out there. And then in Pleasant Prairie, so if you're down near the border, we're going to be there on Sunday morning. And also, over the next week, at the end of this week, actually, all the tips that are being supported go towards Brian D's marathon running in Chicago in October, and he is supporting Camp One Step for Pediatric Cancer Research. So you're doing a lot of good.
Did you pay for the spot?
No, I am terrified at the moment currently because this is a free spot.
I think we should at least get some free burgers or something.
I mean, yeah, if you show up, you know, maybe. We're going to be in Brookfield. That's, you know, halfway to your area.
That's very close.
Past my bedtime, though.
What time are you going to be there?
4:30.
Okay.
It is close to bedtime there.
How old are you?
You should grab the Blammer, bring them out, and let them roll.
Oh, man, we need a Blammer
That's
Thursday.
A great idea. And also, we just need to remember, guys, we got a lot of loyal listeners who tune in every day, who have been following Ashton's journey from the very beginning, from when he got the food truck till now, when obviously they're taking a little hiatus and maybe growing the business in the future. So I do think it is good to keep everyone abreast of what is happening with your endeavors.
I love that word.
Abreast or so endeavors?
Yes, both words. I do need to go to the jewelry center.
Speaking of the evolution.
No kidding. He would have never said that in a million funny words.
When we started the show, would he be following up on an abreast?
Can you guys believe it's been 4 years, by the way?
Yes.
Four years? It's been a year of Joshy.
Really?
Yeah. I think yesterday or Monday, maybe. It might be today.
It was like the second or third week of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Might be today, honestly. Hey, happy anniversary, Josh.
Hey, thanks.
Things are going well. If only Gabe were here to join in on the
festivities. Well, you know, he's faking golf, so it's fine.
I don't think so. If he's not here, he's golfing. Isn't that like how? What's isn't the that hat? Standard operating procedure?
This is Tony Smith's golf school that he's starting.
Why don't we get swag anymore?
Who's we? What swag do you want? I don't know.
Usually there'd be like a surprise or something.
See, a surprise what?
And it's also valuable for you to remember what we deal with every day. You know, why don't we
there's
get
a lot,
swag?
You know, there's a lot of mirrors in this room for this show. I'm just going to say that. Everyone needs to take a deep look into what's happening.
I'm perfect.
You are among them.
Yes, he is. Just ask him.
Guilty as charged. Ashton, everything going well with the wedding planning?
Yes, everything's great. Pizza and ice cream.
Everything going good with the White Sox?
Everything's great. Pizza and ice cream. Actually, I would like to revisit real quickly here in the last 90 seconds of the show. I think this was about less than that, maybe 10 seconds. Last year, before I even had a girlfriend, I said I was going to watch 2,700 innings of baseball.
I do remember that, yes.
Boom. I can't remember the last inning of White Sox baseball I watched.
That's great.
That's not great. You don't follow through on things you say you're going to do.
But I got the girlfriend and the...
Tony would do more with this team than the current manager.
Hey, do you know anybody that can take someone out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Wait.
Like a whack?
You're uncomfortable.
I didn't say anything.
You're uncomfortable talking about your business on the air.
That's different.
But you will inquire about a potential assassination on the
air.
No,
that's not.
Sure.
I didn't say anything. All I that could mean anything. It could be take him out on a date.
Take him out to the ball game.
You know what I mean?
He doesn't dig the hole, though.
Yeah, Jerry Reinsdorf. Gotta go.
Always good to see you. Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.